Chip, what'd you see on film from Fletcher Cox?
So a lot of disruption from Fletcher Cox. You know, I think, or I know, you know, what he causes a lot of problems inside in terms of his ability to rush. Brandon and Connor had the sacks, but a lot of them were, I think, Tom trying to run away from Fletch. But he played as good a game as he's played her inside in terms of disrupting not only the running lanes, but the passing lanes.
Ed Reynolds is a guy who's been around a while.
Mm-hmm.
What did you see from him that gave you the confidence? What did you see in practice squad, all that gave you the confidence to put him in that role?
Yeah, Ed's one of those guys that just, you know, continually you see progress out of him. He's a very smart player and just one of those guys that's earned playing time over the course of the season. And, you know, we felt like when Cup went down that we wanted to get Ed back on the practice squad, and it was real important for us. And if we did have an injury at safety, we knew we would promote him, and he's taken advantage of it. He played a lot of snaps on defense. He also played a lot of snaps on special teams. And that's kind of with him and Biggers and the four guys that I was singling out, him, Biggers, Selleck, and Cooper, usually when guys are playing prominent roles in either offense and defense, they want off of special teams. Those guys want on special teams. And I think, you know, we're really happy with what Ed's doing right now. Hopefully he'll continue to progress and can get a little bit better and better out there. It allows us to play Malcolm down in nickel. We like that, especially when teams try to run the ball a little bit or using Malcolm as a blitzer. That has helped us. You know, Ed kind of growing at that safety position has really added some depth to us on the defensive side.
Is this how you envision using your running backs the rest of the way?
I think everything's a weekly basis, depending on who we're matched up with, who's healthy. You know, has a lot to do with it. Where does Ryan fit in when Ryan gets back healthy? But it's a good problem to have when you have some backs that, when you used all three of them are productive for you. So, again, it's always as you figure out the week, who you're playing, what do you got available to you. So, that's kind of how we'll go with that.
So where does DeMarco fit in?
DeMarco fits in the same way. I mean, we have three running backs right now. We felt that were productive. So, you know, we had a couple game plans. There were some things we were trying to do with the big linebackers and with Darren and Kenyon, but he fits in. It was a strange game offensively from the aspect of we weren't on the field in the third quarter, you know, and it's very rarely are you not on the field, but yet you're up two scores. You know, we had an interception return for a touchdown, and then we had a punt return for a touchdown. So that lack of snaps, usually it's because of we're not being productive. I've been there before. It's because we haven't been productive offensively. It's just because our defense was scoring and our special teams were scoring. And it's not that you're going to say, we'll take it anytime we can. But, you know, it was a different game from that standpoint. So we only had 50-some-odd snaps total. You know, hopefully we get back up to where we normally are in the 70s, and I think that gets expanded a little bit, especially in our run game.
Along those lines, what do you make of...
Kind of like, I guess, what Rue was asking about Ed Reynolds. I mean, is Kenyon Barner like another guy who's just kind
He's
of...
He's another guy. Yeah. Krause is another guy that you've continued to see them improve over the course of the season. And you know, we talk about our guys, it's an evaluation every day that you're out there, and we have an opportunity. You have an opportunity. It's nothing set in stone, that you continue to show us that you can help us and be productive. And the bottom line is for us to, you know, to win the football game, and felt like they could contribute and help us win the game. So I think it helps when you have that youth aspect of it that's really pushing. And when we do that, I think it helps the football team, because we always talk about, you got 46 guys up on game day, you got to use 45 of them, one of them being the backup quarterback, but the other 45 guys got to be able to contribute in any manner that they can. So
what can a win like that do for you from here on out, given that, like, you know, like in college, you know, a huge win you can use as a recruiting tool. In this case, can you show, like, look, we can beat Tom Brady, who never loses at home. Like, can this help you going forward as motivationally for this team?
You know, we take each week as an individual season. We had the same exact question after the Dallas game, and what will that do for you? And we went out and lost to Miami. So, you know, our total focus and concentration is just on Buffalo. You know, we'll highlight what we did well, but we also have a lot of mistakes that we have to still continue to correct, and that's part of what the weekly process is about. But really, our focus is just kind of lasered in on the Bills right now.
With those guys, young guys, Krause and Reynolds and Barner, is it a coincidence that they're all getting playing time now? Or is it a product of things not going well with the guys in front of them?
No, I don't think it's a coincidence. I think they've played really well. I mean, we don't have to make maneuvers, but, you know, they've warranted it in terms of what we've seen out of them from a production standpoint and how they're approaching things. And understand that when you perform on the training field, you're going to get an opportunity. And I think that's what's showing right there. So.
You talked about improving on mistakes each week. Is health related to that? Like, we know the injuries that are reported, but every football player gets banged up, and every football player comes back from injuries differently. Is correcting mistakes connected to the overall health of your team?
It's all connected. And at this point in time during the season, there's no one that's anywhere close to where they started the season. You know, it's just that's just the nature of the sport that we play. But your opponent's in the same situation, so you know, that's where no one ever uses it as a crutch. Well, I can't do this because of this. It's, you know, the guy he's playing across from is in the same situation. It's just, you know, really this game becomes a which team can last the longest in a lot of aspects.
Would you talk this morning? I think I heard you say that you thought Sam over the last two games had. Was coming on, was getting more comfortable. I forget how you phrased it. Is he possibly the exception to this rule because he's, you know, he's shaken off the rust from 2 years. He's back from an injury. Could you get better?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of you. It doesn't mean you can't get better. You know, I just think it depends on the individual player and what the injury that he has. But we had seen Sam progressing in terms of where we had because we hadn't had Sam for a long time. He was here for the off-season program, but we were really limited with him then. He didn't really go full until we got back here on August 1st. And then you could see in the last couple of games before he got hurt against Miami, we thought he was playing really well. He had a really good game against Dallas. You know, he was playing well up in the Miami game up until he got hurt. You know, and that was unfortunate for him because then you lose two games and you hope you kind of – where does he pick up? I thought he played well. I thought he did a real nice job. You know, a lot of those throws were contested throws. They have a good pass rush. They can really push the pocket. And he stood in there and really delivered the football. So it doesn't mean you can't improve, but you also still, to answer your question, you have to take and understand where players are from an injury standpoint in terms of, you know, sometimes the progress isn't exactly what you thought it would be. It doesn't always go up, but it really depends on the individual's health. So.
How do you evaluate the fact that your longest throw was 20 yards? You only threw for 120. You know, did you have opportunities to do more than that?
Well, it was, again, it was a different football game. You know, when you look at how that game expressed itself. We literally were not on the field until the end of the third quarter. And at that point in time, I knew we had to keep our defense off the field. So we went on a 12-play drive where we threw one pass, I think. You know, and that was a conscious decision by me of, you know, our defense has been out there for a long time. Let's see if we can keep them on the bench for a little bit of time here. So it had nothing to do with Sam. It had more to do with us trying to equal out what had happened. In a positive manner because we got 14 points out of the deal. But I also knew that our defense had a ton of reps on against a really good quarterback. So I was conscious then. So I think part of our game plan, even within the game, changes depending on the situation that you're in. So,
what's the why behind showing players positive plays that they had made?
I think positive reinforcement is a productive way to be successful. So I don't believe in negative reinforcement. I don't think you get a lot out of that. I think you coach people up, you don't coach them down. And that's been a philosophy that we've used a lot of times. And I've always shown guys positive plays after games and every Tuesday morning meeting in terms of what we're doing. So
film of another team and only showing, I heard Belichick say this, primarily he only shows the positive plays from the other team when you're reviewing film. Do you follow that same practice?
No, we watch all their plays.
Okay.
I mean, we need to see everything that they're doing. So.
He said the majority of the film that he shows is primarily positive.
Well, our players are got access to every game that they play, so it's not like if we don't show it to them, they're not going to see it. But I think we present them with what the other team does, so schematically where they are. So sometimes if they may throw a deep pass that's incomplete, but we better understand how to cover that route combination because this is a route combination that they run. So.
As a follow-up on DeMarco, you cited the matchup, but how does his performance over the past 3 months factor in to the decision?
I don't think that factored in. It factored into how do we play the New England Patriots and let's focus on the New England Patriots and what's our best game plan going forward against the New England Patriots.
But he's a guy who obviously led the NFL rushing. He's used to 30 carries a game. He does seem a little frustrated when we talk to him. Do you need to tell him, look, you're still part of what we're doing? Yeah. I mean, he had 8 out of 31 carries yesterday. Yeah. You need to tell him.
I think all of our running backs knew our game plan going into that game, so it wasn't a surprise to anybody in terms of what we were doing, and I think Deuce does a great job of handling those guys. But we have to do what's the best thing for the Philadelphia Eagles, and so we are not trying to win a rushing championship or a passing championship or a receiving championship or anything from that stretch of the imagination. We're just trying to win football games, and we're going to do whatever it is. There's going to be some games where we throw the ball a lot, and our receivers do a great job catching the ball, and you know, we're up in the 50, 60 throwing the ball, and they got to make a lot of catches. And there's going to be other games where we only have 14 receptions, and that's what it is. But the end of the day, you're judged on did you win or did you lose. You know, no one says, hey, how many catches did you have today? Did you guys win or did you lose? And that's what we're all graded upon.
You mentioned the overall production from the running backs. Obviously, you look outside of stats. When you're looking at the film, what do you look at the running backs to evaluate how they play?
I'm confused on the question.
When you're looking at the film with the running backs, what do you look at to evaluate how they played?
Well, I mean, the same as everybody. Did they execute the assignment that was called on that play, and did they do what they were supposed to do on that play? So it's pretty straightforward in terms of, you know, a lot of times if the guy runs the wrong route, the quarterback throws the ball to him, it's not a plus grade. You know, he should have been running this route because of the contour and the concept of what we're doing. So,
Chip, can you tell me why DeMarco, it sounds like he will get more carries, why he deserves more carries when you see the productivity of the other backs compared to DeMarco?
Again, our game plan each week depends on who we're playing, what we're doing, and who's available. So I didn't say who has what or whatever, so I don't think...
Well, when you look at the productivity of the other backs...
But did I say someone was getting more carries this week compared to last week?
The implication is he didn't get a lot of carries because he didn't have a lot of offense. I understand that part of it. But when you look at the productivity of the other backs compared to DeMarco, why would, if that's the case...
Each week we look at who's available, and we put a game plan together against the team we're playing. So I don't know how much more plainly I can say that to you.
Was Curry's increased snaps a product of playing more nickel and dime, or was there concerted effort to get him a little more involved in pass?
Nickel and dime, and what they do. I mean, they threw the ball 50 times. So, yeah, it was 56 times, so it's... You know, Vinny's a pass rush guy. We all know that. So when you're playing teams that are throwing the ball a high amount, Vinny's going to be on the field a lot more when you're playing a team. And again, when do those games occur? When we're up. So when we're up, they're throwing the ball more. There's a, you know, it's just a simple equation that I think everybody understands.
And getting back to specialties, have you seen a trend upward in recent
weeks? Yeah, I've seen our teams play really well and been surprised that we hadn't had as much success as we had the other night. I mean, obviously what we did was outstanding, but I think our teams have played well at times. And I think some guys, you know, I look at Tutu playing against the Lions, played outstanding against the Lions, did a great job. I think our gunners have done a really good job. I think our punt return, our punt group in terms of covering kicks has done a really good job. So, you know, did I think we were going to block a kick for a touchdown and, you know, return a punt for a touchdown against a really good special teams? Now, we don't go that far, but I think our group as a whole, you know, we've got a bunch of guys, and Najee, who scored, Maragos, Brayman, Tutu, Burton, that take a lot of pride in what they're doing out there and have trained at a really high level and are playing at a really high level.
Chip, do you have anything to do on Ryan Madsen?
Yeah. I don't have anything on Ryan.
How did Miles take the news that he was sitting down?
I mean, I think, like anybody, he was disappointed, but he understood. Miles is a real team player and, you know, knows what we're trying to get accomplished here. And I think that's a question for him.
When you were saying yesterday that you kind of wanted to get Darren Sproles more involved in the offense and everything, is that kind of hard sometimes just because of how valuable he is? You know,
I don't think it's a value thing. I think it just depends on how people are defending you. There was no doubles on Darren the other day. You know, I think and why or why not? We also hadn't used him a lot before that, so I don't think that was part of their game plan going in, that we're going to get him the ball in different manners that way. But it was a conscious decision by our staff that we need to get Darren more involved. When Darren has the ball in his hands, good things happen. So. Have I what?
Have you been able to follow LeSean McCoy's season?
I mean, I'm aware of. I know he's having a good year, but I haven't really broken down film or looked at anything like that. I know he's the focal point of their offense, and we have to do a good job of team tackling against him because obviously seeing him in person and knowing him, he's going to make the first guy miss, sometimes the second guy miss. You know, but it's we got to stop the run against Buffalo. I think Greg Roman does a great job as an offensive coordinator, and he's always been a run guy. He did a great job when he was at San Francisco, and it's, you know, it starts with LeSean. So our defense better get ready to play this week because we are playing against a really good back.
Since Chris Maragos is like one of the leaders in special teams, was that part of the reason of not having him as that nickel guy? Because
no.
He wanted to focus primarily.
No.
Has his play been any different since he's been?
No, I think he's played well in special teams. I just think there's certain things where we had a good scheme where the personal protector went and grabbed, we had two guys going through the gaps, one personal protector grabbed one of them, Chris got free. So if the guy went to Maragos, then the other guy would have gotten free. I just thought it was a good design, but I think Chris has played at a really high level from a team standpoint. So
Kiko's been back for 5 games now since the injury. How is he graded out, and how do you evaluate his play yesterday?
you know, probably with Kiko, we probably need to. He still played probably too many snaps for us. I think he played 70. We talked about that today. We need to balance that out a little bit between him and Michael in those situations. So I think probably we didn't help him a little bit, you know, towards the end there because we probably should have limited him a little bit to some of the snaps. But, you know, I think he's doing what we're asking him to do. We need to balance those snaps out a little bit better at inside linebacker.
Is there a positive of having two young D-backs in Rowe and Reynolds who are both getting reps and kind of growing and getting this opportunity to play a lot and play together a little bit? If they have two young guys at that position in the secondary.
If they're playing well, yes. If they're playing not so well, no. But I think they are, and that's what you're happy when. Obviously, Eric had to step up because, you know, losing Nolan was a big blow to us on the defensive side of the ball. And so now it's really the whole next man up concept. But for Eric to step in and do what he did, I was happy for him. You know, he's done it on a limited basis. You know, he had the pick in the Jets game. You know, first time he got in, they literally, he's in and threw it on him. You know, and for him to make that play, you hope he gained a little bit of confidence in that. And playing corner in the National Football League is very difficult because a lot of times you are left out on an island. But I thought overall, for him to play the way he played, and the same with Ed. You know, did they make mistakes? Yeah, they're correctable mistakes that they'll continue to learn and grow from. But I think it can help us in the long run that we're developing young depth in the secondary, and that was a big thing for us. We need to get some youth into the secondary and to be able to develop that as we move forward here. So,
do you find the need to be overly positive in a town that maybe is a little negative to amp it up even more for your players so that stuff doesn't? You've talked before about, you know, sheltering yourself from everything that's going outside the building here.
You talking about this town being negative?
A little bit.
That's the first I've ever heard of that. That's always been our approach. I've been, and no matter where I've been, I think it's like raising your kids. I mean, are you going to beat them down every single time, or are you going to, when they make mistakes, you talk about what they did wrong, but you also praise them when they do things right. And I think it's the same thing. I think everybody works that way, no matter what environment you're in, whether in your profession or, you know, do you have a guy who's just hammering you every day that you're not doing a good job, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, this isn't a lot of fun, or, you know, there's a lot of good. And that's what I told those guys last Tuesday, is that sometimes they don't see in themselves what we see in them, and that's why I believe we have a good football team. You know, we proved yesterday we're a good football team, but you know what? That doesn't matter this week because it's a whole brand new week, and it's got to start back over again. So, you know, they'll come back into work tomorrow, and we got to get our eyes focused on a really good Buffalo team, and, you know, we'll correct the mistakes we made. You always have to do that. But we do that, and I think, in a real good environment in the individual position rooms, and they take care of that, and then we move on to the next thing, which is, hey, what do we do well? Let's see this as a group, and let's talk about this, and how do we learn from that, and then we go. But it's a new challenge this week. So.
Thank you.
Thanks.